Welcome to the gift of brain stew wrestling. Drink it in, man. It is I.
The gift of brain stew wrestling.
That's right.
I like that.
It in. This is Michael Falcone along with my co-host, Hammy.
Yo, yo, yo. Pop your rollie and check your rollie. Pop a 40 and check your rollie. I butchered that. God damn it.
As you might know, Hammy is the Sin Cara 1 of radio.
That's right, I am. This is Pro Wrestling Talk without the PG filter. This is Brains 2 Wrestling. How is everyone doing tonight? We are live as always. Call 908-854-4228. That's 908-854-4228 with your pro wrestling questions. We have a lot to get to tonight. We have quite a bit of news to talk about. And also, we have to preview WWE Survivor Series. Takes place this Sunday on the WWE Network. It's going to be a four-hour show.
With a two-hour pre-show. 6 hours of WWE for your Sunday. Plus 2 hours of NXT on Saturday.
It would be like if you're marathoning Raw and SmackDown back to back, except this one won't be as entertaining.
No, it's exactly like marathoning Raw and SmackDown back to back. Let's be honest. But don't worry, there's NXT on Saturday, which will be better.
This is a big weekend. A big weekend in the whole world of combat sports with mixed martial arts and pro wrestling. We have Survivor Series and NXT this weekend, and we also have a couple UFC cards and Bellator card. We have a lot of fighting wrestling. We have a lot to get to this weekend.
A lot going on this weekend. And if you want to hear about the MMA end of it, just make sure to listen to our boys in Cage Crew this week.
That's right. Matt and Jeff, not the Hardy Boys, yes. Host a brand new episode of the Cage Crew coming at you this Friday. They're going to recap UFC 205 and what an amazing night in the world of mixed martial arts
and
that was.
Real quick, I want to point out, I was scratching my head over the fact that they didn't do a show before last week's UFC 205, the first one in New York. And then I realized why. So congratulations, Matt.
Yeah, Matt, a part of the Cage Crew MMA podcast here on Brainstew Radio, is making the darest mistake of his life by getting married. So I want to give congratulations, and I'm sorry.
I could just picture Hammy's fingers struggling, trying to prevent him from typing "Don't do it" in all caps 40 times over.
You're going to get Daniel Bryan. I'm going to get a gif of Daniel Bryan just going, no, no, Hammy's, no. See, I'm bringing it back to wrestling.
Hammy's going to make the list of don't get married echo.
That's a shoehorn if I've ever heard it, but I'm going to make a list of friends who should not get married and a list of reasons why you should not get married. Matt, don't do it, buddy. Just don't do it. Jen's a very nice girl, but just don't do it. No, in all seriousness, congratulations, guys. Yeah, brand new episode of The Cage Crew coming at you Friday. They're going to talk about the amazing double championship win for Conor McGregor. Like I can't wait for Conor McGregor to be in the WWE when he's done fighting in the UFC. I just can't wait for that to happen. He's going to appear at WrestleMania. He's going to appear at some form of WWE event. He's going to do something because, man, if anyone listening or watching doesn't know a thing about the UFC, mixed martial arts, and all that, just look at anything Conor McGregor does, and you will see that he is just the quintessential heel, and he is a real-life heel of a character.
You know what's
I love
weird
him.
Is that when it comes to presentation, WWE is trying badly to be like UFC, and when it comes to just promoting fights, UFC is trying desperately to be WWE.
They are. They are one and the same. As I said a couple of weeks ago on this very program, Mike, UFC and WWE are almost identical.
Well, I think Jim Cornette actually has said mixed martial arts reminds him of like old school, like territory wrestling.
It's exactly like that. So
all right. Speaking of old school, a little sad news right now. So. Vader, not Darth, noobs. Vader, Big Van Vader, the guy who cost Mick Foley his face when he lost an ear, whatever you know him as. It's time. It's Vader time, however you remember him. He found out that because of the effect that playing football and doing wrestling for so many years, because of the effect those had on his heart, he's been told he has approximately 2 years to live.
Jesus.
Yeah. It's pretty sobering. So Mick Foley has now started with his Facebook post pleading for the WWE to induct him into the Hall of Fame this year with the logic that let's get him in there before he passes away because he's more than deserving of being in there.
In the world of pro wrestling, very few big guys captivated the audience. They're mesmerizing with their attraction to pro wrestling like Vader did. And for a guy who was as big as Vader was, the guy can move in the ring.
Yeah,
he was a beast. And my God, how freakishly strong he was to witness in the ring.
He was at one point billed as being 450 pounds. I think it was lighter, like in his actual heyday. But like, he was a 300 plus pounder in his heyday, and he was doing moonsaults and other flying moves. That was unheard of when he was like in his peak. Like he was an innovator for a lot of the big guys who can fly and move now.
Guys like Kevin Owens, I bet, took inspiration from Vader.
Yeah.
You see Vader compete, you can see all of his matches in WWE, at least, on the WWE Network. And you can watch a lot of his classic bouts and just see what he brought to the game. It breaks my heart to hear that a classic pro wrestler is having health problems. And if the Bushwhackers can be in the WWE Hall of Fame, Vader can be in there as well.
And like, Vader is still wrestling. I guess he figures,
fuck it, why not?
Yeah, but Dr.
That's his attitude.
He's like, I've only got 2 years anyway. Like, what does it matter? I mean, I know he like recently beat Will Ospreay in an independent match. And he like, like I said, Vader, and Vader's a guy who really should have been world champion. He was kind of screwed over by like Shawn Michaels and the Click. They pretty much just made his life hell during that feud and talked Vince out of giving Vader the title against Shawn Michaels.
All right, you can even go, you can watch it on WWE Network. You can watch his bouts with Cactus Jack, a.k.a. Mick Foley. You can watch a lot of his classic matches versus Mick Foley as Cactus Jack. Yep. Worldwide 94, for instance, in a classic Texas Tornado match. You can go see everything on the network. It's only 10 bucks, guys. You can witness one of the great powerhouses in wrestling. And it also breaks my heart this week, because this week Macho Man Randy Savage would have turned 64.
Yeah.
So to like, hear that the Macho Man would have been 64 had he not passed away, and now with Vader,
it's rough. And here's the thing:
it's a rough week for wrestling fans.
All right, and here's like, and I've been like the whole like, I'm going to talk about my memories of Vader, but first I want to make the argument that he needs to be in the Hall of Fame, and to be honest, he should have been already. First off, he is a former WCW champion. But he's a three-time IWGP champion. Now, for those of you who think, all right, three-time champion, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of people who have won that title three times. Let me just point out one thing. Foreigners don't really get that many title reigns. I mean, the only other person who is not Japanese-born, there were only two other people aside from Vader who held the IWGP Championship more than once. They were AJ Styles, who held it twice, and Scott Norton, who held it twice. So, like, as far as like a non-Japanese-born wrestler, he's the only guy to win it three times.
I want to show the audience something real quick, because we're talking about Vader here. This is a match between him and Sting at Starrcade 92. Yes, that Sting, back when he beat... This is pre-Crow era Sting. I want to show you something. Now I'm not going to be scientific here and explain what goes into a great German suplex, but...
The other guy has to help with
it. It takes two to tango in the world of pro wrestling, and I want you to just look at the elevation that Vader got from a German suplex. Look how, I mean, and Sting, freakishly strong of a human being. I'm not going to take anything away
but
from
Vader,
Sting here.
Like, Vader was a thick guy.
Look at the height that Sting gets Vader up. And that's not just Sting working here. This has to do with Vader being a freak of an athlete as well, despite his size.
Let's be honest, and like, Vader's ahead of his time in the way that he was a former football player who did well. There were a lot of former NFL players who became big stars, but like, he was the one who could show you that a big guy could move after an NFL, in the wrestling ring after an NFL career. But like, when it comes to like doing moves like the move that Hammy just showed, the belly to back or the German suplex, whichever you want to call it, like, you can tell when it's all the person doing the move strength wise or when someone else is being a freakish athlete and helping them. In this case, Vader was helping him.
And you just saw him work with Sting. Like, look, that DDT off of the top rope, not a lot of people can do this. I know this looks like a very basic move here, guys.
Yeah.
But for a guy Vader's size, this should not have been able to happen.
You know, let's be honest, though. Like, if he were in his prime now, he would have been doing, like, sentons and stuff like that, too. Like, he would have been doing much more than a moonsault.
Again,
and a
you're absolutely right, Mike. I mean, look at guys like Bray Wyatt and Kevin Owens. Guys who are on the, pun intended here, husky side. They should not...
You
see what I did there. They should not be able to do the things that they can do. But they do it. And this is sort of a norm now with pro wrestling audiences. Guys like Vader, they came... once in a very rare blue moon here. Like, you'd see, this would be like if Rikishi had an insane athletic ability. Rikishi was a big dude as well, and believe me, he had his moments in the ring, but Rikishi could not do the athletic, did not have the athletic abilities that Vader had. Yeah. And you just saw it in this very last move here, before the match was over. Vader gets up, flips, and Sting reverses into a power slam to defeat him at Starrcade 92. You could not see a big guy at that level
also,
back in the day.
We need, like,
Vader broke that mold.
And we've got to show them his moonsault. Like, his moonsault, considering his size, his moonsault's impressive. I mean, again, a moonsault's just an impressive move because you've got to pretty much flip backwards to do it while still getting the like height and length to be able to do it. Now, like that, like,
how no one should be allowed to do this.
Like,
how can anyone this size do that?
Yeah, like, again, he was an innovator. Before him, a lot of the big guys his size were he had power game too, but a lot of the guys his size were strictly power with no sizzle. Like, he had that other element that set him apart from all the other guys his size.
And look, you see his last moonsault. Ric Flair was like, give it up to the big man.
Like, also, I want to point out to his accolades, too. All Japan, he was a Triple Crown heavyweight champion, a tag team champion there, and won the Champion Carnival in 99. So, like, he's very well decorated, especially in Japan. Actually, he also won the IWGP title tournament in New Japan, was a tag team champion with Bam Bam Bigelow, won their super great tag lead with Tatsumi Fujinami. So, like, he's very well decorated, and I think he should have been in the Hall of Fame already. He's got the pedigree where he should have been in there years ago.
Like I said, Mike, if the Bushwhackers can be in the WWE Hall of Fame,
if
Vader can be too.
If Drew Carey can be in the WWE Hall of Fame.
If President-elect Donald Trump can be in the Hall of Fame. I mean, guys, the new president is in the WWE Hall of Fame. Vader can be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I mean, and also the fact that he, like, so everyone's got to know, like, as far as main event feuds go, like, he was a good foil for the top faces in their companies he's been in. I mean, he was a megastar in Japan because they kind of, like, they either like the technical wrestlers or they like the big guys, and they especially like foreign wrestlers who are big names there.
I mean, I showed a highlight of him just a few minutes ago. His rivalries with Sting are... Few rivals can match that caliber, and great matches to top off as well.
The only rivalry that Sting had that could top his one with Vader was his feud with Ric Flair.
Yeah, I mean, It's really disheartening to hear that. I mean, that a guy like Vader only has a couple years left to live. And you know what? He's still doing what he wants to. He's not going to let death change anything about him because he doesn't give a shit. That's why Vader is a badass and you're not. And anyone with the name Vader is automatically a badass.
And Vader's such a nice guy, too. This probably had to devastate him. He was he was a badass in the ring, but he's the same guy who also cried because Mick Foley's ear was severed.
Gentle giant backstage, but
a badass in the ring. Moved like very few big guys could, and had a good power game, and just was great in his role in every feud he was in.
Would you say that Vader possibly goes into the Hall of Fame this year?
I think he needs to be in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, I agree that he needs to be, but do you think he is going to be in the Hall of Fame this year?
Okay, to be honest, I think with this year, I would be surprised if they did not include him this year, knowing that he's going to be dying in 2 years. Because, that he was given 2 years to live, but you never know. Like, it could happen sooner than that. So I think they're going to probably alter their plans a bit with the Hall of Fame and put him in the Hall of Fame in 2017. I'll be shocked if they don't. There's a few people I think who should go in the Hall of Fame this coming year that I'll be shocked if they're not, but Vader definitely needs to be put in the Hall of Fame. I agree wholeheartedly with Mick Foley in his lengthy Facebook post that he put about Vader.
I wholeheartedly agree. Vader absolutely needs to be in the Hall of Fame. And if what I read, a rumor, again, just a rumor here, WWE is planning for this year's WrestleMania to be The Undertaker's swan song. And this is going to be his retirement match. They are set in stone that this is indeed it for him. And I know Taker is the pinnacle of kayfabe, but rumor is that this will be his Hall of Fame induction this year as well. So
I think they should wait a year with him if he's retiring at WrestleMania.
Well, they did it with Ric Flair.
Good point.
He was inducted the night before WrestleMania, and then he lost. I mean, everyone knew that this was going to happen.
It might be a star-studded Hall of Fame class. I'd be surprised if The Rock wasn't inducted.
That's another one that needs to be in the Hall of Fame. Again, if the Bushwhackers are in the Hall of Fame.
All right. The Rock is more of it's a matter of time thing. Like, we know he's getting in there. Like, there's no rush. Like, it's in Florida. They were probably, they knew they were going to be in Florida coming up. They were,
Orlando,
perfect
time. It's literally a three-hour drive from The Rock's hometown in Miami. There's no doubt in my mind that I think The Rock gets inducted this year. And I think you're right. Maybe The Undertaker gets inducted next year.
Yeah. I honestly, though, Vader needs to be put in there.
He absolutely does. I mean, given the circumstance of his health, he needs to be inducted. He needs the respect of all the wrestling fans watching the Hall of Fame and all of the WWE legends that will surely be in audience there, Mike. He needs that moment to bask in the appreciation that everyone has for his accomplishments in the wrestling business.
And let's be honest, Mick Foley needs to be the one inducting him.
I couldn't agree more. Him or Sting, or maybe Ric Flair. I don't know. Sting,
I think Mick Foley would have.
Or Mick Foley.
I think Mick Foley would have the best road stories with him.
I think so, too. I think Mick Foley is the right person to induct him, and I think he would want that.
Yeah.
But we'll wait and see. We'll wait and see what WWE does, because if there's one thing, I mean, we question and critique WWE's programming. We critique their reasonings behind booking decisions. Yeah. But one thing, Mike, I think we can agree on that we cannot take away from the WWE is their appreciation for the Hall of Fame. They treat the Hall of Fame like the NFL treats their Hall of Fame. They treat it with pristine honor and respect, and they give all of the wrestlers. This is the only time that WWE acknowledges it as professional wrestling. You notice that, Mike? The only time that WWE calls pro wrestling is at the Hall of Fame because that's how much they respect the veterans that came in this game before the current superstars.
I noticed something too, because there's another big guy from that era who moved well, and he's also not in the Hall of Fame. That's Bam Bam Bigelow.
I think
they both need to be in there.
I would try to make an argument against Bam Bam, but again,
you can't.
The bushwhackers are in the Hall of Fame.
No, no. Guess what? You cannot make an argument against Bam Bam Bigelow. He's another guy who's held numerous titles, especially in promotions.
You're right. He had a long-storied career.
Yeah, like especially in promotions that WWE now owns the rights to. Like, he was an ECW World... I think he was a Triple Crown winner in ECW.
And he's a Jersey boy. So you know what? Jersey. Represent Jersey.
Actually, okay, he wasn't a Triple Crown winner. He was the ECW World Heavyweight Champion and the ECW Heavyweight Champion. Like I said, IWGP Tag Champion with Vader. He was the WWF... He won a Slammy for Best Head. He was WCW Hardcore Champion.
I think
champion
Al Snow would have the best head.
Well, because whatever we want. Also, we're getting told by Katie that she taught Danny Bigelow's daughter. But yeah, like he also should be in the Hall of Fame. Why isn't he in the Hall of Fame? He's another guy who's well decorated across the globe, a big guy who could move.
I mean, you're right, and if WWE owns all of this library, if they own all of these tapes and the rights to all these classic pro wrestling libraries, essentially they can acknowledge all these great wrestlers that came from these promotions.
Also, Bam Bam Bigelow was on Major Pain, the movie.
That is true.
With Damon Wayans.
That match that he had with Taz, where they both fell outside through the walk ramp, is still one of the most it's still one of the most shocking holy shit moments in my time watching wrestling. All right,
so I think they should definitely both be in there.
Yeah, Vader, now, Bam Bam, go in the Hall of Fame.
Get them in there, WWE. Do it this year for both of them. All right, so we got one other point to discuss. So, I mean, we're going to talk about this a little more later in the show when we get to the moments of SmackDown. But I've noticed that WWE's been slipping up with the Intercontinental title. I mean, yeah, they've had a good feud for it with Dolph Ziggler and The Miz. But even during The Miz's reign as Intercontinental Champion, the title's kind of not been up to where it should be and where it has been historically. And I've got a few issues with how they're booking that title and what they should do with it. They need to give it more importance, but also they need to... Now, I think Sami Zayn's going to be the next guy to win it, and I think Sami Zayn's going to be a star. What they need to do, though, is, like, going forward, stop giving it to gatekeepers like The Miz and Dolph Ziggler. Like, you need to give it to a guy who has a legitimate shot of being vaulted to the main event scene. Because essentially, yes, it's a mid-card title, but like everyone's like, all right, this is the title that the guys who are fighting for scraps are going for.
I'll agree with that because by default and by tradition, the Intercontinental title has been held by people who have risen up through the mid-card, and eventually that was their springboard to the main event picture. Once they became Intercontinental Champion, they transitioned to the main event picture and became champions. Look at The Rock, Triple H, Stone Cold Steve Austin, all these guys, Eddie Guerrero, all of these guys
were
once Intercontinental, European, or whatever, mid-card level champions. And The Miz... I mean, I'm not taking any credit away from The Miz here. I think The Miz is one of the most shining examples of what a great heel can be, and I think he's one of the best heels SmackDown has to offer, but I think you're right about this, Mike. Yeah. Giving him the title just for the sake of, okay, it's going to be safe on him, we can trust him with it, instead of taking a chance of someone else, like a Dolph Ziggler or a Sami Zayn, I think it ruins the reputation of the title. And just like how... I mean, we disagree on this, but with the hot potato transition of the titles between the Raw women's title, Charlotte to someone else, to Charlotte to someone else, to Charlotte, Sasha.
Well, Charlotte, Sasha. The only person who's beaten Charlotte
the hot potato switching of the titles, to me, at least, ruins the reputation.
It's bad booking.
I don't like it, and I don't like that Ziggler...
Sasha should have had extra
jobbed the title back to The Miz on SmackDown, but we'll get to that in a minute.
I've got an opinion about that, but we'll get to that
for SmackDown recap. But
here's the thing with the Intercontinental title. With the exception of like most of the 80s, when, let's be honest, it was a lot of guys to hold it who Hulk Hogan just refused to job to when he pretty much had the world title on a stranglehold. I mean, the only, I mean, you had like Randy Savage eventually graduate to the world title from what having been Intercontinental Champion. Ultimate Warrior won the world championship while being the Intercontinental title holder and had to vacate it. And then you had Mr. Perfect, another guy who just Hulk Hogan would refuse to. But like, and then at one point, like Bret Hart was an IC champion. Shawn Michaels was an IC champion. And then from there, more often than not, IC title holders ended up being future world champions.
I mean, one of the greatest WrestleMania matches and greatest pro wrestling matches I've ever seen was Randy Savage versus Ricky Steamboat at WrestleMania 3. That match, by many people on the card or behind the scenes, that match was WrestleMania.
Yep.
I mean, the picture Kodak moment, you sort of say, was Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant, but that match was not only the show stealer, but people still talk about that match to this day as how great it was. And I agree. I want the Intercontinental title to be respected again. I mean, it's the best looking title the WWE has.
I mean, it's got that vintage throwback.
I mean, it's based on our logo. The logo of our show is based on the Intercontinental title. So it's certainly the best looking. I personally like heel Miz with the title. I personally but again, we're playing hot potato with the title. Ziggler just won it like a couple months ago at No Mercy from The Miz, and now The Miz wins via heel finish on SmackDown. So if we're to believe what you say is true, that Sami Zayn wins and takes the title back to Raw, first off, that completely buries SmackDown, in my opinion, as far as title goes.
I think there would be a trade to get the IC title back to SmackDown, honestly. But
it also shows that that going back with The Miz as the champion, you have no one on SmackDown. I mean, you look at the main at the men's Survivor Series team. That's your whole roster.
They need to do trades. Pay-per-view. They need to get some people.
SmackDown is so underwhelmed with roster talent. Shane McMahon is on Team SmackDown.
Yeah. Now let's look at the last. And I'm gonna look at the last 10 IC title reigns, just to show you guys where this has been going. Bad News Barrett, no longer with the company, never a world champion. Should have been, but never. But at that point, he was a gatekeeper. Daniel Bryan, he got injured again and had to retire. But he'd already been a world champion, but, I mean, that was pretty much the reign that ended his career. Ryback, gone, not with the company, never held a world title.
Not rememberable at all as champion.
But all right, now the next couple reigns, you get guys who became world champion after Kevin Owens, Dean Ambrose, Kevin Owens. So that was a good run for the title, and then right after that, you've got Zack Ryder.
Surprise win at WrestleMania, right?
Surprise, great moment, but again, a gatekeeper at this point.
Yeah, it was only a placeholder. Mm-hmm.
The Miz, who has a previous world title reign, but at this point, it's a gatekeeper. And Dolph Ziggler, gatekeeper. Miz, gatekeeper. Guys who, like, you know they're not going to give the main title to, but they're guys who are going to be in that mid-card.
So then, let me ask you this then, Mike. If the title stays on SmackDown, which it should, it absolutely should stay on SmackDown. So let's hypothetically say that The Miz walks away Survivor Series with the IC title.
All right.
You said that the IC title should be the face of the mid-card division. That's the mid-card championship. Who on SmackDown is better than Dolph Ziggler or The Miz
title? Honestly, you need to have guys who can be traded over there, which is to beef up the top of the mid card, because SmackDown's got lower mid carders. They've got lower mid carders for days, but they need upper mid carders badly. The guys who they thought would be upper mid carders either sunk to the bottom part of it or are in the main event scene.
I will make an argument that the Miz that there's no one better than the Miz to hold that title.
I mean, listen,
simply because The Miz is to me, one of the best heels in all of WWE. I mean, when I went to SmackDown a couple of weeks ago, the biggest crowd reactions of the night were when The Miz got on the mic and insulted the New Jersey crowd. Now, granted, New Jersey, New York crowd were always a little more hostile.
Yeah,
at
I was
going
to say that's not a good barometer.
But like, the loudest reactions were stupid James Ellsworth and Daniel Bryan, obviously. But the biggest heel reaction was not AJ Styles, it was The Miz. And the dark main event was an IC title match between him and Ziggler.
Let's be real, though. AJ Styles is going to get more cheers than boos in New Jersey.
That is right. That's more of a biased fan base that we have here for Styles.
It's like, it's a smarky crowd. He's not going to get booed. He's going to get cheered.
But wouldn't you agree that the New York, New Jersey, tri-state area crowds appreciate a great heel, and we will loudly.
But
the way that we boo heels here, Mike, it's sort of cheering.
But
in a way, our boos translate to cheers.
The New York, New Jersey crowd boos the guys they're just sick of or annoyed with. The Miz.
No, we also boo heels, I'd like to think, because when The Miz got on the mic and he said, "You fat basement dwelling slobs from New Jersey, this is off the air."
Chiefy.
It got. An extreme amount of heat from him.
But here's the thing, though. Like, that was cheap heat, A. B, like, even if Kevin Owens or AJ Styles could insult the crowd in Jersey, and they would cheer and say, "Yeah, you got us. We've got nothing. You're AJ Styles. You're the phenomenal one." Or you're Kevin Owens. Fight Owens, fight. Like, they would not still boo the guy.
See, the way that Owens would get cheers from that is...
By being funny.
The New Jersey fans would say Steen just to be smarks, and Owens would go on the mic and say, "That's not my name."
Yeah.
And then he would get cheered.
He would say just something hilarious, and it would be great. So, because they're two guys who know how to do the little things.
But if you want to challenge The Miz being a great heel, just watch that Talking Smack segment where he went after Daniel Bryan. I've never seen a heel cut a promo like that in a very long time. Like, where he truly captivated me as an audience member to just go, "Wow, I'm interested in this guy now."
Technically, Punk was written as the heel in the pipe bomb for the pipe bomb promo.
Well, who else since Punk really captivated me as a heel? I mean,
Owens.
That was 2011. I mean, granted, yes, Owens has been fantastic. Jericho is probably the most over guy in the company.
Yeah.
But as far as, like, real, like, full-time heel, I don't understand.
I honestly can't defend
why anyone else would say
Miz gets
not
heat.
The Miz.
Miz gets heat, but here's the thing. It's not X-Pac heat. It's he's being annoying heat. Because that's the Miz. Like, yeah.
I don't know. The things he says to Daniel Bryan are real, like, ooh.
I feel like that was a little bit him being like, "I'm tired of being called soft in the ring." But I think you need to give it to someone who, like, here's the thing. Miz will never get another world title reign unless Kevin Dunn.
That's one thing we absolutely agree
unless
on.
Unless Kevin Dunn's Miz boner is in full effect. Let's be honest. Like, Kevin Dunn is the reason that, like, he gets as many chances as he gets. They need to trade some guys to SmackDown, though. So, for example, I'm going to give you three names along with Sami Zayn who should be traded to SmackDown. And maybe they do it to get the Cruiserweight title back to Raw, but a couple names that would be beneficial on SmackDown. Cesaro. Good name for that upper mid card. Sami Zayn. Well, no, I said aside from Sami Zayn, sorry. Let's see who else we got here. I mean, they're not going to move any of the New Day guys. We know that.
No, New Day is never moving.
Let's see. Here's a lot of, like, Neville is another guy they could move. And you know what? Rusev.
That's not that bad of a choice. Rusev.
You know what? Sheamus, because you need a heel for that division.
But a captivating heel.
Rumor is, though, they're turning...
You want to talk about fans that are booing it just because we're sick of them. Sheamus.
Rumor is they're actually going to try a face run for Rusev.
How?
Because the fans are turning in his favor.
I think they're turning into his favorite because they can't because stand Roman Reigns that
they're
much.
They're doing it because Rusev's entertaining.
I think they're cheered for it because they love his wife more than they love him. Though,
some of the funniest lines on Raw are typically said by Rusev.
Yes, because he says them so dry and so angrily.
But still, though, like some of the best lines on Raw are said by Rusev because of how he delivers them and just like he knows how to do that. So I think like
do you follow Rusev on Twitter?
Oh God, yeah.
I mean, you want entertainment? Look at Rusev on
TV
Twitter,
champion. But yeah, like send Cesaro there, send Sami Zayn there, send Neville there, send Rusev or Sheamus. Give Raw a couple. You know, and then give Raw the Cruiserweight division back. They've got the crew. That way they have the crew.
They can't give the Raw the Cruiserweight division back. They're bringing live 205 live. They're creating a show just for the Cruiserweights.
Hammy, they can still do it. Because they're still going to have the Cruiserweight division on Raw or SmackDown with 205 live going on. So they can still do it.
They can, but I'm pretty sure that WWE giving 205 Live its own show, going live Tuesday night, so they're going to be on SmackDown. They're going to travel with the SmackDown crowd.
And it depends on how they do that. They might have it be at the location of a house show, too. Again, we'll see. But I think that could facilitate, unless they do bring the division there, and then there's the Intercontinental titles brought to Raw, which actually is better because it's a deeper mid-card than Raw, because it's a deeper roster, because it's a three-hour show, and they took everybody. So I think that the Raw... So even moving it to Raw with Sami Zayn as champion, and granted, that means Raw has two secondary titles. SmackDown could always create two. They could make like a TV title or bring back the European title. They could do those.
Wouldn't that be oversaturating the amount of championship titles, though?
All right, maybe they bring one in SmackDown because Raw is a three-hour show. So maybe SmackDown makes their own secondary title.
Three-hour show.
Yeah. Sometimes those 3 hours go by pretty slowly.
Well, not if we watch this week. This week's group of shows were pretty decent, I'm being honest here. Final thoughts about the IC title before we move on
honestly,
to our biggest news stories.
I think they need to do some overhaul with that Intercontinental title scene. Sami Zayn winning it and bringing it to Raw might be the best thing they can do for it.
I agree that Sami Zayn would be a great Intercontinental champion. He is the rightful IC champion.
And if anybody needs that rub, it's Sami Zayn. He's very over with the crowd, but
agree.
That could elevate him.
But I'm going to go against this move because SmackDown needs a mid-card title. They need to build up their own mid-card division.
I think they'll just create one.
If they're not bringing back old championships, old retired championships, the IC title needs to stay on SmackDown. Yes.
All right, so we're going to lightning round news and international indies. That's right, guys. We're going to be talking about the international scene and the indie scene results-wise. But first, let's do some news. Joey Styles has been fired from Evolve and various other indie promotions. For those of you who are wondering why, here's why. At Evolve 73, Joey Styles made a remark with a female announcer saying that if the president-elect were there that day, he would try to grab her by either... I haven't seen the video yet. Either he was cut off or he said the line, but he wasn't fired because of what he said. He was fired because he disobeyed an order from Gabe Sapolsky, who said not to do anything political. He disobeyed that order and made that joke, and that he was then fired for that. So Joey Styles on a bit of the wrestling unemployment line.
Now, what is it that he said?
Again,
I'm trying to find video here, but
he made a grab her by the pussy joke, like what Donald Trump said. And again, it was not so much him making the joke about it that got him fired. Although I've heard rumors that Joey Styles is a bit of a dick backstage, like behind the scenes.
A voice of ECW for how many years? And how many assholes has he encountered, man?
But it's not...
Now, what exactly did he say? Did he say to a female competitor or...
A female announcer, yeah.
Oh, female announcer. I mean, the quote is, you're so, isn't it like, you're so beautiful, like Donald Trump?
If the president-elect were here, he would grab you by the...
Yeah, okay, so he made a comparison to Donald Trump's grab her by the pussy joke, and...
Again,
while I'm not...
It's not why he's not that he went with that joke that got him fired. It was him being told, don't say anything political, and then making that joke.
Right, I mean... If you're explicitly told not to say something and you go off and say it, I really can't defend Joey Styles on this. Defend him trying to make the joke because,
but he wasn't,
let's be honest,
fired.
Anyone who ever watched ECW Hardcore TV back in the day, he said far worse. So, I mean, I'm not going to shit on Joey Styles for having the testicular fortitude, as Jim Ross would say, to make the joke, but... You were specifically told not to say anything political or make the comparison. Because Evolve is just starting to breach the mainstream picture.
Also, and Sapolsky's point was, we try to be a distraction from that kind of stuff for people who watch us. We don't want to remind them of the shit show that's going on, essentially.
You're in the entertainment industry. You are everyone's escape from their stress. Yep. I mean... Perfect example, right after the 9/11 attacks, Vince McMahon said, no, screw you, we're going on the air. And I remember watching that SmackDown. The entire country, especially here in the New York region, we were all heartbroken after the 9/11 attacks. We were all just shooken up, and we watched SmackDown to just
and it wound
escape
up,
it got all of us a temporary escape from the horrifying reality. So you know what? I kind of have to side with Evolve on this. They told him not to. He disobeyed the direct order. So, it sucks for Joey Styles because I respect the guy, but I feel bad.
Yes. And next item news, it took a week, but WWE finally acknowledged the fact that one of their Hall of Famers is now the president-elect. They edited the Hall of Fame biography of Donald Trump to reflect his recent election win. Speaking of WWE, there was a bit of a skirmish during their European tour last week. So Sin Cara, who's been in a few fights recently, Hunico, I should say, he was a bit of a dick during that tour. He was on the bus making weird noises.
Yep, right on the front page.
Yep.
WWE right on the page WWE. Donald Trump, the most famous businessman in America, turned US president.
Yeah. So
he helped shave Vince McMahon's head at WrestleMania, and now he's the president.
This is nervous laughter, everybody.
Oh, my God.
We're fucked.
You could go on YouTube and see a WWE Hall of Fame video about Donald Trump, and now he's the president.
Idiocracy, here we come. All right, so... Sin Cara, Hunico, was being a dick on the bus, making weird noises that was making people just uncomfortable. People asked him to stop. He refused to stop. Chris Jericho went up to him and basically told him, cut the shit.
And Chris Jericho's a badass. I mean, he picked a fight with Goldberg at WCW back in the day.
Picked a fight with Lesnar.
He got in Brock Lesnar's face after SummerSlam because he thought
Lesnar was taking liberties.
Purposely beat up Randy Orton.
Yeah. Jericho's got balls for days.
Jericho's a badass.
And so he said, cut the shit. Sin Cara told him to fuck off.
Yeah, that's something you should do to a surefire WWE Hall of Famer.
Yeah, definitely.
And the guy who, let's be honest here, Mike, he
is more over than you.
He not only is more worth on the card than you, the guy has built up a Taker level respect in the locker room. And
so,
to piss off the dog that runs the yard there, not to take Taker's old catchphrase, but Jericho is the guy backstage.
So,
and you pick a fight with him. Real smart, buddy.
So Jericho then said something back. Hunico tried to punch him but missed. They got into a scuffle. Jericho bit his finger. And then they were pulled apart.
That's such a heel thing to do.
Yeah. So because of that, the rest of the locker room has shunned Sin Cara. Like, during Raw this week, he was told to change with the local guys who were playing the security for the Lesnar-Goldberg segment.
Oh, boy.
And then he was put on the SmackDown tour because the Raw wrestlers did not want him around. So
not a good week to be Sin Cara.
Nope, not. Well, and he botched the move, going vintage Sin Cara. So, again, speed round segment. This week in the Indies / International. On Ring of Honor TV, you had Michael Elgin defeating Toru Yano. Dragon Lee defeated Ring of Honor TV champion Bobby Fish in a Proving Ground match. And The Kingdom defeated Bullet Club in a first round match for the new Ring of Honor 6-man tag team championship. TNA results. See, we can talk about them without talking about their shit show of a backstage culture.
In the end, it is about the wrestling.
The Bound for Glory series is starting. We got Mike Bennett defeating Moose in a qualifying match. EC3 defeating Abyss in a Bound for Glory qualifier as well. Trevor Lee defeated Rockstar Stud and DJZ in a 3-way match as a qualifier. Bobby Lashley defeated Robbie E. and Grado in a handicap match, because why not? And Eddie Edwards defeated Eli Drake to defend the TNA world title. Evolve. Jaka defeated 73, the infamous one. Jaka defeated Darby Allin. Jason Kincaid defeated Icarus. Ethan Page defeated Chris Dickinson. Drew Gulak defeated Zack Sabre Jr., which was said to be a great match. Chris Hero defeated Matt Riddle. Yes, the Matt Riddle from The Ultimate Fighter. And then Fred Yehi and Tracy Williams defeated Dustin / Chris Hero, Drew Gulak, Tony Nese, and the Gatekeepers to win the Evolve Tag Team Championships. New Japan, their Wrestling World episode. Juice Robinson defeated David Finlay. Roppongi Vice defeated Jushin Thunder Liger and Ryosuke Taguchi in a 3-way match. Tama Tonga and Tonga Loa of the Bullet Club defeated Tomohiro Ishii and Gedo. Hiroki Goto defeated Tomaki Honma. Kazuchika Okada defeated Yoshihashi, defeated Kenny Omega and Yojiro Takahashi of the Bullet Club. And then Katsuyori Shibata defeated Evil to become the IWGP Never Openweight Champion. So, let's see here. Now, this week in WWE, we have some Raw highlights. First off,
couple good shows this week.
Yeah, for once, they had some good shows.
But this is it's been a while since both Raw and SmackDown were watchable throughout the whole show.
Yeah, I mean, kinda. There were some segments in Raw that dragged on.
Agree, but overall, it was. I didn't fast forward through any commercial breaks, so I watched all of Raw without fast forwarding through a segment. Although there were some points where I had my hand on the fast forward, like, should I? Nah, I'll see this one out. So if I didn't fast forward through any segment during this week's Raw and SmackDown, that's a successful show in my opinion.
But a couple highlights, though. A
couple highlights.
So we're doing SmackDown now. But we had, for example... let's see. I'm trying to wait for the segment to load up for us.
Well, the closing of Raw, Stephanie and Mick Foley invited Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan onto Monday Night Raw, and of course, they didn't come alone. They brought the SmackDown Men's Survivor Series team with them.
And that led to some great interactions on both sides.
Like, means you're no more than a paper champion. But this right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp. I'm the face that runs the place.
That's great. You stole somebody else's catchphrase. Good for you.
Yeah, yeah.
And look, you can tell yourself that all you want. But you want to know why this title is more important than yours? Because I'm the guy holding it. Braun.
So... there are a couple of nice interactions between everybody. I liked this interaction between Bray Wyatt and Braun Strowman, just because I have a humongous bias for Bray Wyatt. Yeah.
Also, Jericho putting AJ Styles and AJ Styles' soccer mom haircut on the list.
So, of course, chaos erupts when Dean Ambrose sucker punches Rollins, and, of course, everything just erupts into what you would expect on a pro wrestling show. and it sells the main event of Survivor Series.
Yeah, I mean, it does. Better than the last, like, 3 weeks of build for this.
I mean, this is the first time we're all... You had to do this, Mike. At first, I was just being sold, like, okay, this just... I mean, it's cool, but no. Like, am I really sold? Like, am I going to see any, like, interaction between these guys beforehand? Well, talk over. Fisticuffs were thrown on Monday Night Raw. And with how Monday Night Raw, Team Raw came out on top to close the show, leads me to believe that Team SmackDown is going to be the one that wins this. But we'll save that for our future prediction. Yeah. We'll save that for our predictions to close the show.
And SmackDown, I mean, SmackDown had a pretty good ending segment too. It was a cutting edge promo. That Edge came out, talked to the SmackDown team.
By the way, do you see Edge's Santa Claus beard coming
Jesus
out?
Jesus Christ, yeah.
The guy is enjoying retirement, let's just say that. Edge is looking quite older with his beard.
Yeah, he needs to shave that. But he did his thing, dissing Styles and shaking Ellsworth's hand. Undertaker came out because it was the 900th episode, because why the fuck not?
What way to celebrate 900 episodes of SmackDown than with, to me, the greatest gimmick pro wrestling's ever seen?
Yeah.
Regardless of what people can say about The Undertaker, yes, we can critique anything he's been doing, but man, when you hear that gong, you perk up like, oh, here comes The Undertaker.
I'll be honest.
You're not sharing the excitement with me, are you?
The gimmick doesn't age well. I mean, I'm sure he'll be put in a feud with Styles because Styles will be able to carry him, but the gimmick doesn't age well. Not at all.
Maybe because we're in an age where everything's a little more realism, yeah. And like we could see past the mystic character of The Undertaker. I still get excited.
I mean, listen, he looks like somebody's tall grandfather now. Like, he doesn't age well.
He looks like the old leader of a biker gang.
No, he looks like the old...
Who should have stopped being a biker long ago.
He looks like the old rock star who's like, fuck this, I'm still growing long hair. That's what he looks like. It's depressing.
So let's hear what the dead man has to say. It's
killing my childhood.
There could be no better man to be commissioner of SmackDown
than the guy I beat in WrestleMania.
Who has no fear.
Shane had the ballsiest cell drop since Mick Foley.
Now, I'm here tonight for two reasons. One,
Shane looks like his father.
WrestleMania will no longer define who I am. I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
Oh, look at this, that fire from the dead man.
Oh, so he's going full-time now.
Yeah, but does that mean he's going full-time?
At least until WrestleMania, probably.
Because last I thought, Mike, last year with his program with Brock Lesnar and him having way more dates last year than he normally did with his one shot a year at WrestleMania,
I thought
this year was Taker's last hurrah. And according to several people backstage at WrestleMania 32 this year, Taker was seen saying, yeah, I'm done. Peace out.
Yeah.
But of course,
That's rumors, though. We don't know.
Again, that's just rumors. But I mean, Taker has said quote unquote retired several times backstage. As people saying, "Fuck this, I'm done. My wrestling days are over." But the guy bleeds this business, and he does it. He's the Brett Favre. I've been saying for years, he's the Brett Favre of the WWE.
I was actually about to say, make it the
should have retired years ago. He should have retired when he went 20-0 at WrestleMania. I'm not complaining seeing him compete as long as he's healthy, does what he wants to. I'm still a fan. I will always be a fan, a very biased fan, but a fan at the very least here.
So
if he's back and we get to see more Taker matches aside from WrestleMania. I mean, his WrestleMania opponent has to be John Cena. Who else can face him at Mania?
He should feud with AJ, and AJ needs to win, though. AJ needs to win.
I think he has two more feuds, two more matches aside from Mania, and that's where he puts over everybody. Yeah. This is his triple, like, this is his three match going on his back thing. Because, again, regardless of what you may think about Taker, no, you cannot deny his dedication, old school mentality to business. He bleeds old school wrestling. He will go out on his back when he is retired. And you know what? If he still has the heart that I think he still has for his business, and AJ Styles, like, he's never wrestled The Undertaker, Styles.
No.
Why wouldn't you want to have the opportunity to wrestle one of the greatest that's ever done it? And the money that WWE can generate from this, having a Taker match in general, is just instant pay-per-view buys. Yeah. I would love to see him take on AJ Styles.
It's weird they don't have him in this SummerSlam match, or Survivor Series match, I mean, sorry.
If anyone should be in a Survivor Series match, it's Taker.
Yeah, they should have announced him last week as being in there, because that would have been bigger than Shane McMahon being in it. Speaking of pay-per-views, we have two to do predictions for. Because WWE, now, when they have their big four, they do takeover specials the same weekend.
Right.
So we'll do takeover first, quickly. First match is Bobby Roode versus Ty Dillinger.
Glorious!
Honestly, as much as Ty Dillinger's starting to get over, Bobby Roode wins that match.
I think so.
Yeah, that's going to be... So the Dusty Invitational Finals, Authors of Pain, who they're badly trying to make the new Legion of Doom, versus TM61.
Oh, so you mean the Ascension didn't work out then?
This time, though, Authors of Pain have Paul Ellering as their manager. I think, honestly, Authors of Pain go over in this one. I'll quote J.J. Stoner of 316-420 fame. They kind of need the rub there for that.
They do.
Two out of three falls to the tag team titles, DIY versus The Revival. Last time these two teams had a match, it was the best match of TakeOver Brooklyn. And this is a two out of three falls match. I got Ciampa and Gargano finally winning the titles.
I think I might go unanimous with you with this card. I think you're not giving me a reason to disagree with you. Let's just say that.
I mean, and it makes sense because they typically have to do one title change, and I'll the next two matches. For example, Asuka versus Mickie James. Asuka's winning that match. They're bringing Mickie James there, so Asuka can beat her and beat a legit a legend in women's wrestling. And then Shinsuke Nakamura versus Samoa Joe for the NXT title. This is essentially going to be Samoa Joe's swan song in NXT before they bring him up to the main roster.
I completely agree.
And Samoa
Joe will be on Monday Night Raw.
And Shinsuke will continue to become like the Finn Balor of this wave of NXT. So yeah, that's more than... And again, someone else they can add to that upper mid card right away on Raw for the IC title. Now, we've got Survivor Series. So the first match is...
A big match. This is a big match right here. I'm just going to go in order here on WWE.com. The first match, the Brian Kendrick versus Kalisto, with the stipulation being if Kalisto wins, SmackDown Live gets the entire Cruiserweight division. Now, we know 205 Live is going to be live on Tuesdays on the WWE Network, which means they're going to be touring with SmackDown.
Or they'll be in a different location with the Raw crew.
Something tells me they're going to be with the SmackDown crew.
Honestly, I think they might just tape 205 Live.
Well, no, it's going to be live on the network. They're not taping it. It's live.
Then they'll bring the purple ropes. I honestly don't know if they tour like differently for the TV tapings, because they're typically in close enough cities to each other.
Well, my pick then is still Kalisto, just because I don't think the Cruiserweight division has worked on Raw. I think they will thrive better on SmackDown
with the better writers.
The better writers, and SmackDown needs the talent. So I'm picking Kalisto.
Yeah, it'll be either they get the Cruiserweight division and Raw gets the IC title, or there's a trade that gets the Cruiserweights back to Raw and the IC title back to SmackDown.
Yes.
Either way, something happens. But I'm picking Kalisto as well. Next up.
The next match on the card, the Intercontinental Championship. The Miz whose hair I envy and desire, versus Sami Zayn. I never have hair envy. I'm sorry. Envy the Miz's hair.
I'm sorry, Hammy. Your man crush is losing the IC title. Sami Zayn is going to become the new Intercontinental Champion, and it's
only
going
with
to
his hair. I have
great.
A man crush. I'm picking the Miz, and not because I want his hair.
Miz?
I'm picking the Miz.
Why?
Because I think SmackDown gets the IC title.
I think the reason they had the Miz beat Ziggler was so that Sami Zayn could beat him.
So then what's the point? Why not have Ziggler lose to Sami Zayn?
Because it's better for a face to beat a heel for the title. Like because if Sami Zayn beats Ziggler, it's going to be a conflicted thing for the crowd. They're not going to know like whether to cheer Sami or boo the fact that Ziggler lost the title. This way, now he gets to beat the guy who beat Ziggler for the title.
Fair enough, but I still pick the Miz.
You're going to be wrong.
Well, we'll find out. We'll find out. The next match, Team Raw versus Team SmackDown, live in a 10-on-10 Survivor Series elimination tag match. And boy, oh boy, we have some players on this on this match.
So, now, for those who want to know, don't know the teams for this match, on the Raw side,
you have the Shining Stars, you have Cesaro and Sheamus,
Gallows and Anderson, The New Day, and Enzo and Cass. Now, are all three members of The New Day going to be in this, or is it just the two of them?
You know Woods is going to be there.
Yeah, Woods will be with Francesca 2.5.
Yes.
Then you got, on the SmackDown side, Breezango, Gable and Jordan, the Bussos.
Thank you for calling them the Bussos.
Yes. Hype Bros. And Rhino and Heath Slater, now that Rhino has nothing better to do because he lost his election.
Kurt Angle has a lot of ankles to break.
He does. Quite a few. So, honestly, I am giving this one to Team SmackDown.
I'm giving it to Team Raw just because of what I think will transpire in the main men's Survivor Series match.
I have a similar logic, and I'll explain that in the next Survivor Series match we talk about, which is going to be the women's. So you've got the Raw one, which is Charlotte as the captain, with Sasha Banks, Nia Jax, Bayley, and Alicia Fox versus Team SmackDown. Also in their corner is going to be Charlotte's pet Dana. And then on the SmackDown, so you've got Nikki Bella somehow as captain, even though Becky Lynch, who's better in ring and better on mic and better at everything, is the women's champion on SmackDown.
But she's also not dating John Cena.
And Kevin Dunn hates her accent because Kevin Dunn's a fucking idiot. But also Alexa Bliss, Carmella, and Naomi. I'm picking Team Raw for this because of the way that segment went on SmackDown, with the SmackDown women beating down the Raw women.
Yeah, it usually traditionally in the go-home show, whichever team looks the weakest going into the show is usually the one that ends up winning. So for that logic, I'm agreeing with you, Mike. I am picking Team Raw as well.
But you also picked Team Raw for the tag match.
Because I think what's going to happen in the main event, I think Raw wins two of the three Survivor Series matches except the main event.
Like I said.
Which leads to the men's Survivor Series match.
Yeah, I'm picking Team SmackDown for that one, but here are the teams. On Raw, you got Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho as the captains. I don't care that they put Roman Reigns after Kevin Owens. Team Chris and Kevin are the captains of this team. So Kevin Owens, Chris Jericho, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, and boring Strowman. On the SmackDown team, you've got AJ Styles.
You mean the abominable Strowman?
No, I don't mean that. I'm not going to. I'm not. I refuse. I don't care. I don't care how much stupid Michael Cole tries or awesome Corey Graves tries to say it. I am not calling him the abominable Strowman. I refuse.
He's, see, just because you said that, now I'm going to say it. That's what I'm going to call him now, just to annoy you.
No, I'm saying I refuse to say it and play into it. It's not. It doesn't annoy me.
Well, I'm going to play into it now just to spite you. And they're taking on Team SmackDown, which is the face that runs the place, AJ Styles. Still can't believe he's in WWE.
Dean Ambrose. You address him by his true nickname, all right? He's the champ that runs the camp.
My mistake. The champ that runs the camp, AJ Styles.
And the newest inductee of the prestigious list of Jericho.
greater honor than the WWE Hall of Fame, yes, if you ask me.
I mean,
versus
that's the cap his career needs.
With the lunatic that's not really a lunatic, Dean Ambrose, with my boy Bray Wyatt, Randy Orton, and for some weird reason, Shane McMahon.
So Shane can take a crazy bump at the hands of Braun Strowman. That's why he's there.
That is precisely why he's going to be there.
I'm
picking Team SmackDown just because, A, SmackDown looked weaker on Raw to close the show, and I think Raw wins the other two Survivor Series matches, giving SmackDown the biggest win of them all.
SmackDown is winning this match.
I absolutely agree. SmackDown wins this match.
Because I think SmackDown's winning 2 out of 3 on this one. So
we'll see. We will see. And the main event, a rematch to a match we honestly weren't happy with in the first go around. We have Brock Lesnar versus Goldberg. I mean, if we're not thinking behind the scenes here, you would want Goldberg to win, but Goldberg's losing this. He absolutely
is
losing
this.
Well, I
know, but here's the problem I have. So I was like, all right, this is going to go one of two ways. Either it's going to be a shit show like their last match was, because their last match was an abominable shit show. That was the abominable Strowman. Suck my balls. So now I'm finding out that Goldberg tweaked his shoulder during the segment in Raw. So Goldberg cannot even do a confrontation with security separating them without fucking up his shoulder. Just like the week before, he couldn't do a segment with Rusev where he gave him knees in a clinch without tripping. This is going to be terra bad.
Yeah, I got a very funny feeling this match is not going to be cool.
Brock Lesnar's going to win via 16 suplexes and a couple F5s, and we're going to hate ourselves for watching this match and for people marking out to this shit show.
But it is the main event, so I'm hoping for a good match.
It's not going to be.
I love how the caption on WWE...
Goldberg hasn't
wrestled. I love the caption on WWE. It says, it's finally happening again.
Oh, kind of like once in a lifetime.
Twice in a lifetime.
But not trice in a lifetime.
The Beast Brock Lesnar conquers Goldberg at Survivor Series. So that is it. That is our Survivor Series picks. Will we be wrong? We really don't know. We'd like to think that we're a little bit smart when it comes to this stuff. But you can follow at... Not really. Well, you can follow at BSR Wrestling on Twitter. I am at Hams Gruber on Twitter. He is at
Michael R. Falcone.
Michael R. Falcone on Twitter. And you can follow the network Brain Stew Radio at Brain Stew Radio. New content coming. I will inform you all of this off mic, but I just got word that we will be getting a couple new things to add to the network. So, for Mike, I am Hammy. This is Brain Stew Wrestling. Have a wonderful evening. We will see you next week.
Have a nice day. I'm gonna hit the high.